Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzler. Russia in wartime. The severe sanctions directed against Russia because of its invasion of Ukraine. The war continues. I welcome Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution, my guide on the Russian economy under sanctions and its trading with its colleagues in Eurasia, that would be India and China, and its many ways of working around the sanctions, except it seems to have hit a wall. I read from Newsweek, China's state-owned banks are tightening curbs on funding to Russian clients as they fear being subjected to secondary sanctions from the U.S., according to a report by Bloomberg. Michael, a very good evening to you. What are secondary sanctions, and why do they make a giant like the Chinese banks quiver? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. Secondary sanctions are defined in the executive order of President Biden on December the 22nd last year, and in the 12th package of the European Union, also in December last year, that the enforcement of sanctions is now becomes more important than the sanctions themselves, because sanctions are already across the board on many Russian industries and the banking industry. But and oil and everything. But the enforcement now is the call of the day. And banks are extremely sensitive, especially Chinese banks, Turkish banks, and other banks which deal with international clients and international trade, because unlike domestic corporations, banks, even if they're domestic, they're international in nature, because they deal with trade, with export and import, with international clients, with foreign investment in their countries, and with the investment of their citizens and corporations abroad. So the Chinese banks are the largest in the world. The four major Chinese banks hold assets $20 trillion. And these are the largest banks not only in China, but in the world. They're concentrated. And of four major Chinese state-owned banks, the four now said that they effectively ban transactions with Russia because they're afraid of secondary sanctions. And for a good reason, because the United States and the European Union are much more important for China than Russia. China has $4 trillion about that in international trade, and Russia constitutes now only 5%, used to be 2%. And of course, the bulk of the international trade and banking transactions is with the United States, Canada, Australia, and the European Union. And so the Chinese banks are, and the two banks, we can guess what the banks are. It is the Industrial and Commercial Bank and the Bank of China, which is a universal bank and dealing with financial business. So those, this is a great setback for Russia, that those banks will no longer have strong correspondent relations with Russian banks. This will halt a lot of trade. This will be terrible for Russian investment, because the Russian budget deficit and the Russian central bank are now relying on renminbi as the foreign currency, because they're no longer dealing with dollars and euros under the sanctions. So this is a big event.
The president of the European Commission, Ms. von der Leyen, made remarks about Russia failing on strategic goals, but she also said it's an economic failure because it's become dependent upon Chinese banks. So Russia's entirely dependent on Chinese banks, but Chinese banks are now fearful of sanctions. Something's got to give here, Michael.
The problem is that now the Chinese currency and the Chinese assets denominated in renminbi, which is a Chinese currency, are the most important foreign exchange reserves for the Russian Central Bank. And this is what the Russians are dealing with their domestic investors, selling them that from their oil exports earn renminbi from China, and they're selling this for domestic investors to support their exchange rate, to support the ruble, and to finance their budget deficit. And so this is indeed, they're very much dependent on China, and China is also a major source now of foreign exchange for them, because India reduced its oil purchases from Russia, because the Saudis are now giving India a very good discount, $1.50 per barrel. China is now the most important trading partner for Russia, especially buying Russian oil and natural gas. And this, that Chinese banks are now blocking lots of payments and lots of transactions, is a big setback.
Foreign Affairs magazine has an article that identifies to me three problems that Mr. Putin cannot solve, which become much more difficult now that the Chinese banks are not available. The first is that he's got to pay for his war. The second is that he has to maintain the living standards of the population, especially in Moscow. And the third is something called macroeconomic stability. I think that means avoid inflation. How's he doing on those three together, Michael?
Well, it's a slow process of deterioration. Because Russia, for supporting low inflation, very much depends on its exchange rate, because inflation expectations depend on whether the ruble goes up or down. And now they are trying to maintain, especially before the presidential elections in March 2024 they will have, they are trying to maintain the exchange rate under 100 rubles for the dollar. They are now having in the neighborhood of 90 rubles for the dollar. And for this, they are very much dependent on their exports, and the oil prices are declining. Natural gas prices are remarkably low. They are lower than, they are now under $300 per 1,000 cubic meters, lower than before the war. Oil prices are $78 per barrel, lower than before the war. So this is a very difficult situation for the Russian budget.
I saw today that Saudi Arabia had cut its oil price. That's going in the wrong direction. Wasn't it just weeks ago that Putin and Saudi Arabia were said to be combining to raise oil prices? It's not working out for them. The lower the oil price, the more trouble Russia has. Is that correct?
It is correct. And another problem is that the lower the oil price, the higher is the discount. Because immediately with the low prices, this becomes the buyer's market. And the buyers, India, China, and other countries, and the Europeans, of course, are dictating the oil price. So the Russians are now increasing their discount back to $10 or $11 per barrel to sell to India, because Saudis are offering a good discount.
The inflation story, it was last 15-16%. You expect that to go higher over the next year or 2 years or 3 years, many years. There is a story saying the newest inflation count came in better than expected. That is, it wasn't going higher. But you tell me that we need to average inflation, not just look at 1 month. Is that correct?
Monthly inflation depends on many factors. And, of course, it is a tiny drop in inflation from 7.5% to 7.4% annualized, which is not very important. And it is, again, there is a funny moment of it. It connects with eggs, because the eggs prices went up tremendously in the fall of 2023. And now they're down because Russia is importing Turkish eggs and Azerbaijani eggs. And so the market is saturated with eggs. And there is some seasonal decline in inflation. But inflation expectations for the future, for 2024, remain high, between 14% and 17%. A lot depends on how they finance their budget deficit and what the exchange of the ruble is, and that depends on the oil prices and natural gas prices.
Michael Bernstein, the Hoover Institution. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.